All glories to the Assemble devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Yes.
Now we have nice provision by Guru Prakash Prabhu, who has usual just given big round of welcome. And we have his provision up to 6:45, and then in any couple minutes for question answer, and then we'll do one round of mantra. And then after.
I asked Narendra last month if I could, instead of the Bhagavad Gita, since this week is the appearance of Lord Ram, I would do a special Ramachandra Katha, so he gave me his permission. So the basis of this class will be on Bhagavatam, but first, there is this very nice prayer by Jayadev Goswami in his introduction to the Gita Govinda, the Dash Avatar Stotram, and he includes this prayer. Vitarasi dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam dashamukha mauli balim ramaniyam keshava dhrita Rama Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Keshava Drita Rama Chandra Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, you have assumed the form of Ramachandra. All glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the ten-headed demon Ravan and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them, who were much harassed by this monster. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami, in chapter 3, is answering the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. They have assembled at the early stages of the age of Kali, and they were about to perform a sacrifice for 1,000 years for the benefit of the people of Kali Yuga. And in the course of answering the questions, there were 6 questions posed to Sutta Goswami. He narrated in a very synopsis format about 22 different incarnations of Krishna, because after listing the incarnations, the avatars, he says, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, that the origin of all these avatars is Krishna himself. So in listing those, he includes Lord Ram. Nara devatvam apana surya karya chakirshaya samudra nigrahadini chakre viryanyata param. Sutta Goswami said, in the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Ram in order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods. He exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean, and then killed the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Then in the second canto, Lord Brahma, the creator, is instructing his number one son, his favorite son, Narada. And also, Lord Brahma gives a quick summary of many different avatars, in which, when he comes to the Ramachandra, he spends more than one verse. All the other avatars was only one verse. But when it came to Lord Ram, Lord Brahma spoke three verses about Lord Ram. Pradanyato yan rishi atmananti lila avataran purushasya bhumna apiyatan karna kshaya shoshan anukramishyeta iman supeshan. Lord Brahma said, O Narada, now I shall state one after another the transcendental incarnations of the Lord, known as Lila avatars, because there are six different kinds of avatars. So there are six different categories. One of those is Lila. The Lord comes down and performs amazing superhuman pastimes. O Narada, hear of their activities, because hearing counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear. So this is instructive. This is why we come to the temple. Srila Prabhupada, in his temples, insists that besides the arati, there must be also kirtan. And there are two kinds of kirtan. One kirtan is to sing loudly the bona fide songs, but the other kind of kirtan is to speak on the Vedic scriptures, primarily Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This is also important. Coming to the temple, it's not enough just to ring the bell, see the deity, and go. That's all right, that's good. But one must also hear about the Lord, the science of God, from devotees. That is very, very important. Brahma then says, these pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore, they are in my heart. So now he goes on with the three verses about Lord Ram. Asmat prasada sumuka kalaya kalesha ikshvakuvangsha avatirya guror nideshe tishtan vanang sadayidanuja avivesha yasmin virudya dashakandara artim archat. Lord Brahma said, due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency, Sita. So the first point here that Brahma makes is very similar to what Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, that whenever the Lord appears, he does so, first of all, not under the jurisdiction of the material energy. He comes under his own internal spiritual potency. That's the first thing. And the second thing, causeless. The Lord does not have to come down. He is not duty-bound. We learn in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there is no work prescribed for me. So if the Lord comes, it's not that he has some obligation. No, he comes out of his own sweet will or causeless mercy. Nothing can cause him to appear. And when he does appear, then he appears not under the control of this material energy like you and me, but under what is called Yoga Maya, or here it was said Sita. She is the internal spiritual potency. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharatha, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years. How many years was he in the forest? 14. And he was there with his wife and younger brother. So who was that younger brother? Lakshman. And his wife? Sita. Ravan, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him. What was that offense? What was that offense that Ravan committed? Yes. He supposedly stole Sita, but actually he didn't. Ravana cannot even see Sita, because again, Sita is Yoga Maya. Just as Kamsa, when Krishna was switched with the baby born of Yashoda, she was Yoga Maya. But when Kamsa came and attempted to kill the baby flew out of his hands and appeared as what? Durga Mata, not as Yoga Maya. Because Kamsa is a materialist. He cannot see Yoga Maya. Impossible. He can, at best, he can see the external potency. So the same way, when Ravan cheated and tricked and stole Sita, immediately she was taken. Not by Ravan. She was taken by Agni and kept secret. What was Ravan given? A shadow, an illusory. He was given Maya Sita, because Ravan cannot touch Sita. Impossible. She can only be touched by who? Ram. Nobody else can touch Sita. She can only be touched by Ram. So Ravan was cheated and given Maya Sita. Later, after everything was done, you know the story how Sita was tested in the fire to prove her chastity. Then the real Sita was delivered and the false Sita went away. This was revealed to us by Lord Chaitanya. When he was in South India, there was one Brahman who was practically dying because he could not accept the fact that Ravan stole Sita. He was having such a hard time. Lord Chaitanya said, no, no. Why are you so much anxiety? Trust me, Ravan cannot even see Sita. But Lord Chaitanya could not convince him. So when Lord Chaitanya was touring South India, he went to one temple and he got the actual Purana where this information is there. And Lord Chaitanya didn't even ask for a copy. He took the exact scripture from the temple to show the Brahmin. Of course, they made an extra copy for the temple. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to take the direct evidence to prove to the Brahmin that what he was saying was true. Then the Brahmin was ecstatic. And then the Brahmin could understand, you must be that same Lord Ramachandra. You must be the Supreme Lord. Like that. All right, let us go on to the next verse. Yasma adad udhira udabhayanga vepo. Margang sapadya ripurang haravad dihaksho dure surin matita rosha sushona dristya tatap yamana makaroraga nakra chakra. those of you who have done a little homework, the Sanskrit of the Bhagavad Gita is very simple Sanskrit, but the Sanskrit of the Bhagavatam is on a higher pay scale, longer verses, and more sophisticated Sanskrit words. The personality of Godhead, Ramachandra. Everyone say that holy name. Being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend, Sita. Can you say that name? Sita. Glanced over the city of the enemy, Ravan, with red-hot eyes, like those of Hara. Hara is another name of who? Hara is another name for Lord Shiva, Shambhu, Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics, like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry red hot eyes of the Lord. So, this first part, being aggrieved, we must not misunderstand. The whole Rama Leela is a drama. It is a play. So, like any good drama, there has to be so many emotions. So, here, when Sita was supposedly kidnapped by Ravan, then both Sita and Ram experienced intense separation. But that separation was not material lamentation. This is the point. You and me, we experience lamentation. And because we're in the jurisdiction of the world of duality, there's a difference between happiness and distress. How many people want more distress in their life? Nobody. You don't like distress, do you? Everybody wants more happiness. That's because we're living in a dual world. But even, like I said at the beginning, when Ram and Sita come, even though they're on the earth, they're still in the absolute plane. So it may look like crying, it may look like lamentation, but actually it's ecstasy. Just like when the actor or the actress is crying in the movie, do you really think that they're unhappy? No, they're getting paid millions of dollars to cry. So they're thinking, I love this role. I am crying and I'm going to get the Oscar award and get paid millions of dollars. So Sita and Ram, when they are crying, they are still in transcendental ecstasy. Because even though they come to earth, they're still on the transcendental platform. So that is an important point. Then the next point is that it was described how Lord Ram was looking over the ocean and it became so hot. So this proves that Lord Ram was not an ordinary human being. What human being looks at an ocean and the ocean becomes hot? No. One has to be Bhagavan. One has to be Ishwar, the supreme powerful, in order to make the ocean hot just by glancing. One has to be so far beyond a conditioned soul. Third verse. Vakshastala sparsha rugna mahendra vaha dantara vidambita kaku jusha uddahasam sadyo subisaha vinyashyati dara hartura vispur jitaya dunushu ucharato dishainye. When Ravana was engaged in the battle, the trunk of the elephant which carried the king of heaven, Indra, broke into pieces, having collided with the chest of Ravan. So Ravan, how powerful, huh? That Indra's elephant smashed. And the scattered broken parts illuminated all directions. Ravana therefore felt proud of his progress and began to loiter in the midst of the fighting soldiers, thinking himself the conqueror of all directions, as we say in America, pride comes before the fall. So here's Ravan, and he's thinking that he's invincible, and he's thinking, oh, I am going to be so victorious in this battle, because when Shurpanak told Ravan about Sita, it was Shurpanak who said, oh, this Ram has the most beautiful consort. So Ravan's lusty desires were immediately ignited. And Shurpanak was also warning Ravan that Ram had killed single-handedly 14,000 Rakshasa soldiers. But Ravan thought, no, he's just an ordinary man. He'll not be able to defeat me. I will kidnap his wife, and she will submit to me, because he could not force. He was cursed. He could capture a woman, but she would have to submit voluntarily. So he was thinking that by my prowess, she will yield to me. But Sita will not yield to anyone but Ram. But Ravana thought that Ramachandra was an ordinary human being. He looked like an ordinary human being, two arms, a head. But that was Ravana's miscalculation. He miscalculated, thinking that Ram was an ordinary human being. Thinking himself the conqueror of all directions, but his laughter, overtaken by joy, along with his very air of life, suddenly ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Ramachandra, the personality of Godhead. So yes, Ravan was loitering in the midst of the battle, but Ramachandra shot the arrow and killed Ravan. And this is so nice what Lord Brahma says. His laughter, overtaken by joy, suddenly ceased along with his very air of life. And in the ninth canto, when Shukadeva Goswami is giving a quick summary of the Ram Leela in one chapter, because you know the Ramayana is many, many thousands of verses. So when Shukadeva Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit, he says, you already heard so many times about Lord Ram, so I'm just going to give a very quick summary. So when Shukadev is giving that, after Ravan is slain, Ravana's wife, Mandodari, she speaks, lamenting over the dead body of her husband. And she chastises him. She chastises that you did not understand the potency of Sita. Mandodari could know. Mandodari was also a very chaste woman. If you can believe that, if you can accept that, that someone can be married to Ravan, and still be considered chaste. But she is described in that way. So Mandodari, over the dead body of her husband, was chastising him, saying, "You fell under the spell of lusty desires, not knowing the potency and power of the chastity of Sita." So that's very, very instructive. Ravan is considered to be the incarnation of lust. His name, Ravan, means that he simply caused others to cry. What a name. You're famous as that person who makes everybody cry. But actually, he was lust personified. And it was that lust that did him in. As we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are three doors, dwara, that lead to hell. First one, lust. And when lust is not satisfied, what happens? You become angry. That's the second door leading to hell. And then, after you become angry, you mitigate your anger by becoming more greedy. That's the third gate. Krishna says every sane person should give up these three gates which lead to hell. Every sane person. So, one thing one can take from this Ram Leela, that Ravan wanted to enjoy Lakshmi, Sita, but he didn't want Ram. But that's the thing. You cannot have Lakshmi without Narayan. And my spiritual master points out the philosophy of wanting the kingdom of God without God is Ravan's policy. The policy of, I like Lakshmi, but I don't like Narayan. That will not work. Then she becomes what? Chanchala, flickering. America should pay attention to what I'm saying. Barack, are you listening? Yes. If we want Lakshmi, then we must have Narayan. If we want Sita, we have to have Ram. Otherwise, it'll be Maya Sita, Maya Lakshmi. It'll be an illusion. It won't be real. And in the last couple of years, so many American people realized that their so-called Lakshmi or so-called opulence was a dream. 401k, gone. So many big movie stars, actresses, they invested with that guy, Madoff. Yes, Ponzi. So they had millions. What happened? Gone. It was Maya. It was illusion. It looked good. It was on paper. But when it came time for the real thing, gone. So therefore, my spiritual master points out, you want Lakshmi? Worship Narayan. Here, we're nicely situated. We have Radha, Krishna. And they should always be nice, closely together. Nicely together. Then everything will be wonderful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Then in the fifth canto, in canto 5, Hanuman. As we have here in this temple, we have Hanuman. Hanuman offers his prayers there is a place in the universe known as Kim Purusha Varsha. Hanuman, he worships Lord Ram in that place. No, you cannot book a ticket to Kim Purusha Varsha. It exists, but no travel agent can, nobody's flying there. You get there by performing penances and austerities only. So in that Kim Purusha Varsha, Hanuman worships Lord Ram by chanting mantras. This first one is very nice, so I'm going to ask you all to repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya. So Uttama Shlokaya means that Lord Ram is such a person that only the best Sanskrit words are used to describe him. Not ordinary language. Uttama Shloka. Everyone say. All right, let's continue. Nama Arya Lakshana. Shila Vrataya. Nama Upashikshitatmana. I told you Bhagavatam was advanced Sanskrit. Upasita Lokaya. Nama Saduvada Nikashanaya. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Mahapurushaya. Maharajaya. Nama Iti. Hanuman prays, let me please your lordship by chanting the bead mantra Omkar. So in mantras, there are seeds, Om, Kling, Shring. These are seed mantras. And with that seed, then the mantra can sprout and fructify. So he begins by chanting Om. Everyone chant. Om. Very good. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Lord Ram is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. I've explained many times. Aryan means a civilization which has spiritual advancement as their priority, not economic development. The materialistic, the Ravana economy, right? What was his city known as? Lanka, gold. So Ravana was on the gold standard. But in Aryan civilization, their priority is spiritual advancement. Why? Because they're smarter. They know that economic well-being automatically follows spiritual well-being. You follow the point. When you are an Aryan, you know that if I make my spiritual advancement my priority, my material things will automatically be taken care of. That's an Aryan. All right. Lord Ram's character and behavior are always consistent, and he always controls his senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, he exhibited exemplary character to teach others how to behave. In the whole Ram Leela, time after time after time, Lord Ram showed the perfect example of a human being as a king. Every step of the way, Lord Ram's example, perfect example for a civilized human being. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold. But you, Lord Ram, are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. So, by studying the example of Lord Ram, now we have something to judge by what is good, what is proper, what is the way to actually live. This is a big problem in the age of Kali. The age of Kali is an age of confusion, and everyone doesn't know what is right, what is wrong. And more in the age of Kali, people are taking the wrong thing as the right thing and the right thing as the wrong thing. That's what's happening. As the age of Kali progresses, sin becomes virtue and virtue becomes sin. But if people take the example of Lord Ram, then they'll know, oh, this is the standard. This is the real criteria. Lord Ram, you are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You are the Supreme Person and the King of Kings. And therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Now, Hanuman goes on. There's about 8 different verses where Hanuman speaks, glorifying Lord Ram and teaching us good lessons. But because of time, I can't do that right now. So I want to get to my final portion here, which will be a perfect segue into the japa class. So there is a Shatanam Stotra of Lord Ramachandra. And we find this verse. This is the 8th verse of the Shatta. So Shatta means 100. So this is the 8th of the 100 verses glorifying the name of Lord Ram. Please repeat. Ramante yogino nante satyanande chid atmani iti rama padena sau parang brahma vidiyate. So this verse says that the Supreme Absolute Truth is called Ram. Everyone say
Ram.
Because transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. So this coincides with what I was saying a few minutes ago about false or illusory happiness or illusory wealth. The transcendentalists, they're not interested in anything temporary or material or illusory. This is explained in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita by Krishna also. Any material pleasure, either it's goodness, passion, or ignorance, it's still limited and temporary. Since it's temporary, it's considered illusory. But there is eternal happiness. There is true happiness. But that is spiritual. That is transcendental. And the word we use, ananda. Everyone say. The word ananda cannot be used for anything in the material world. Because by definition, ananda is something that is always increasing. Nothing in this material world is increasing. You look in the mirror. Are you getting any younger? Your bank account Is it always increasing? Your stock, is it always increasing? No matter what it is, any material pleasure, whatever it may be, it's not always increasing because it's material. If you want pleasure that is increasing at every moment, then that's ananda. That is spiritual pleasure. Now, in the next verse, Lord Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava, the greatest, tells us how to get ananda. Who wants ananda? Good. Lord Shiva is going to tell us how to get it. Please repeat. Rama, rameti, rameti. Rame, rame, mano, rame. Sahasranama bistuliyang. Rama, nama, vararane. So Lord Shiva was speaking to his wife, Durga, and addressed her as Varanana. Varanana means, O lovely-faced woman. As I've said many times, men, take a clue from Lord Shiva when you address your wife. You'll get much more bang for your buck if you address her as, O my lovely-faced wife. O my most beautiful goddess. I practice what I preach. And that's why I always get what I want. I have learned the art. This morning, I woke up early. My wife got up later. So when she woke up, I took the guitar and sang her a morning song. I had the best breakfast you could ask. I follow the footsteps of the Acharyas. So Lord Shiva addressed his wife Durga and said, I chant the holy name of Ram. And he said it three times. Rama, Rama, Rama. Everyone. And thus enjoy this beautiful sound. So just see, Lord Shiva considers this sound of Ram to be beautiful. Now, here's the thing that I really like. This holy name of Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu. So, if you're like me, because I know so many people, they chant every day Vishnu Sahasranam, and it takes maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes. But I always say, hey, I'll just say Ram, and I get the same benefit. It only took 1 second. So that's what Lord Shiva here is pointing out, that you can chant 1,000 names of God, you get the same benefit by one utterance of the name Ram. Everyone say Ram. Now, there's another verse which occurs, that it says that if you chant the name Rama three times, everybody, you get the same benefit by once uttering Krishna. Everyone say
Krishna.
So, yeah, so now you know why it's called the Mahamantra. Just see how powerful is this Mahamantra. It is so powerful. That's why it's called Mahamantra. It is the great chanting. And in Kali Yuga, we need all the help we can get. That's why Lord Chaitanya has emphasized chanting the Mahamantra, because it's the most powerful, and there are no hard and fast rules. You can chant anytime, any place, anywhere, and you can, at your convenience, relish What did Lord Shiva say? This beautiful sound. Beautiful sound. So are you ready to chant?
Yes.
One round of japa?
Yes.
All right. Lord Shiva just informed us that he chants this name Ram and enjoys the beautiful sound. This enjoyment is dependent on how nicely you can chant. Lord Shiva chants and does not commit any offense. Lord Shiva's chanting is on the pure platform, the platform of love of God. Therefore, he can really enjoy this sound, Ram. We, on the other hand, we tend to commit offenses. There are 10 offenses. And in the beginning, we tend to commit 1, 2, 3, maybe 10. To help us, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to help us become free from offenses. So the disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya instructs that before chanting, one should first chant the Panchatattva Mahamantra so that you become free from offenses. When you're free from offenses, then you can actually enjoy chanting. So first we chant Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Then we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarari Vasa Hishnuna, Amani Namana Dena, Kirtaniya Sada Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatirangita. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu.